Tonight's shir, Parshas Balak. Pasuk says, "V'yagar Moav mipnei ha'am ki ravhu yagar." The Moabites, they were scared of the Jewish people. V'yomer Moav al ziknei Midian. So they turned to the zakenim of Midian and they said, "Atay lachu akalas v'yoseinu." Jews are gonna take over, etc. So the Midrash wonders. It says, very strange. We know that these two nations, Moab and Midian, they're always at odds with each other. They're always fighting. As it says in way back in Bereshis, Hamakeh es Midian bistei Moab. So what's going on over here? All of a sudden, Moab's turning to Midian. Hey, you know, Jewish people, let's get together. Help me. So what's going on? These are arch enemies. So the Midrash says, and Rashi brings it also, Mi'irasam shel Yisrael asu shalom b'neim. Because they had something in common. They're both scared of Klal Yisrael. Said that they made shalom with each other. So he said, if that's the way it works when on the bad side, we know that the Midah Tova is Meruba Mibinas Piranius. So if we're doing bad, two people which are at odds to each other can get together, you know. So Kol Shekein, when it comes to doing good, right? If two people which don't agree, or groups which don't agree, if they both have in mind to do something very good, then they can forget all their differences and they can make shalom in order to do the good. If we see these goyim to do bad, we're able to make shalom. Surely to do good things, we can make shalom. Brings a story. He says that in Chedera, the yeshiva in Chedera, there are two bachrim. They're very, very good. A top bachrim. And the idea came up in the Hanhala to put them together, chavrusas. That's very good. They're both like top bachrim, and get them together, they can, you know, accomplish wonderful things. So they approached one of them first and said, how would you like a chavrusa? We thought it'd be very good. You should be a chavrusa with so-and-so. So he said, no, thank you. Forget it. No way. He says, why? He's a good bachrim. I know he's a good bachrim, but, you know... In other words, they had a lot of tension between the two. They didn't get along with each other, and no matter what they said, they didn't. He couldn't bring himself to learn with this other bach. So, Galinsky, he said, "Fine, you don't agree, but you at least listen to a story." So he said, "Fine, a story. I'm willing to listen to." So, what's the story? The story goes like this: says there was once a very powerful. Kingdom that was headed by the Caesar. And he had a son that was top-notch, only son. He was very wise, good-hearted, etc. So the day came when the father, Caesar died, and his son was going to take over. He was obviously, you know, next in line. He was Roy for the position. So everybody, the whole kingdom, got ready to inaugurate him as going to be the new Caesar. Okay, so all the arrangements were being made. So part of the when the inauguration is, they put the new king on the throne, and they put on his head a special crown. Now, this crown it was in this kingdom for generations, and every time a new king goes up on the throne, they put this to inaugurate him. They put this crown on his head. Only he doesn't wear it always. Put it on for the inauguration, and they take it off. A very, very, very expensive, fancy crown. It was gold with diamonds and jewels on it. Very, very fine. So they planned the ceremony to be in another week or so. And so somebody went to, you know, make sure the crown's okay, got the crown. So they pulled out the crown, and when the person that took it, he almost fainted. Why? He saw that in the center of the crown, in the front, there's this one very large, bright diamond, right there in the middle. And it wasn't there, this hole right there in the middle of the crown. And so they told everybody what's going to be, and they looked, they tried to find, no, and they couldn't find it. So he said, now what? I mean, you can't be inaugurated without it, because everybody's going to say, well, where's the crown? And you can't put this crown with this big hole in the middle, it's a busha. So they said, look, we got to find a replacement crown, a replacement jewel, a replacement diamond to go in that middle spot. So they sent Mitam the Malchus Shaliach, and they said, you have to, you know, they knew exactly the size, how it looks, whatever. You have to find a diamond exactly like this, and so we can have. So he said, whatever it costs, you know, as long as it's within reason, you pay, you know, money's no object. He says, okay, I'll see what I can do. So he went looking to the around the kingdom there for the, you know, diamond merchants and things like that. Nobody had such a diamond. So he went across to the out, you know, the cities around there. Also couldn't find. So he says, well, no choice, I have to go to the next country. So he goes to the next country, he goes to the capital city there. Anyways, finally he hooks up with this diamond merchant, you know, deals with jewels, and he describes the diamond that he you know, he think, and he says, oh, he says, I don't believe it. He says, why? What happened? He says, you're not going to believe this. He says, just the other day, some you know, diamond dealer offered me, if I want to buy this, you know, then I resell. That's my, you know, I buy and resell. And he, exactly what you're looking for. He showed me this diamond, but I thought, what should I buy? Nobody, who's going to buy it from me? You know, it's such an expensive, fancy diamond. It's not going to be able to, I won't be able to, you know, sell it. So I said, no. So he says, oh, come. So he says, you know what? He told the guy, he says, give me 24 hours. As you stay in the hotel over here, I'll see what I can do. I see maybe I can, you know, find the guy and then get it from him. So he says, okay, thanks, fine. So it's a guy from the shliach from the you know, kingdom. He's in the hotel, and this diamond merchant goes to try to find the guy that offered him the diamond. So sure enough, he locates him, and he says, oh boy, am I glad to see you. He says, what's up? So he says, well, you know that diamond that you offered me? He said, yeah. He says, oh, can I buy it? I really need it. It's I need it for the king, the new king, and it's not. I need it. So he says, oh. He says, you're not going to believe this. He said, I you didn't buy it. And then, so I was trying to, and I found somebody that bought it. They haggled with me and all that, and I gave him a discount, whatever, and he bought it. She goes, oh no. She says, you know what? Can you tell me who it is? So maybe I can, you know, make a deal with him and buy it back from him. You know, buy it from him. So he goes, yeah, sure. His name is Plony. He goes, Plony? Oh no. He says, why? He goes, Plony, ugh, if anybody, I don't care who you, just not Plony. He says, well, you know him? He says, of course I know Plony. That guy's a rat, and I can't stand the guy. He says, we're always at odds with each other. He says, you know, once it all started one day, there's a certain deal, and I almost closed the deal, and all of a sudden, he came from behind, and he took away the jewels, and he bought it from the guy, and he's from under me, and I got all upset, and I took a revenge from him. I never had a job. The kids are we're arch enemies, you know? And he has the diamond. So he goes, what can I tell you? That's the story. So now, he didn't know what to do, this merchant. He said, on the one hand, he thought, you know, okay, what? Look, I don't know chiyuvim over here. No, Baruch Hashem, I'm fine financially, you know. I can go back to the shaliach from the kingdom and tell him, look, I tried, I couldn't get it, and gemar. So, you know, he was about to do that, but then he felt uncomfortable. He says, but what's the king going to do? The new king, he's going to be inaugurated in a week. He's going to sit on the throne and no crown. He says, how can I do that to him? How can I do it to the king, to the kingdom? He says, you know, I just got to, what can I say? I have to. So he decides he's going to go to his enemy and knocks on the door. I was like, hey, what are you doing here? So he says, well, did you hear about this new king? That's the new Caesar is going to be inaugurated. He goes, yeah, I heard about it. What's it got to do with me? What are you here? I don't understand. What did you come here? So he says, well, I'll be honest with you. He says they lost the diamond that's for the crown, and from what I understand, you just recently bought it. That's correct. You have such and such a diamond. He goes, yeah. He says, so listen, what was our past. Fighting and this, but this is the story. I'm just laying the cards on the table. So he says, We have two options here. Right, this Shalev from the king is willing to pay anything within reason. So whatever you paid for, you can get three times the amount. So how about we sell him the diamond and we'll split the profits? And he says, and you know what? And if you're not happy with that, fine, you go yourself. You go yourself to the shaliach and you sell it and you keep all the profit for yourself, as long as the king has his diamond. That's the story. So, point being, of course, he's telling this bacher, you know, you have to look at the bigger picture. You know, this guy, I don't like him. This guy, yeah, but you're for the king. You're for the king. If you have a chavrusa between the two, you can do great things together. And what? It's for the king. Do it for the king. Fine. You don't benefit. You don't think, but it's worth making peace for the king. Says, he remembers that in yeshiva, they used to ask the question that the Shulchan Aruch says in Orach Chaim, beginning of Orach Chaim, Aleph Beit, it says that roy lecho yiri shemayim liot meitzer v'doeg ala chorban. That it's fitting for a yiri shemayim that he should be literally upset and worried about the chorban. So they used to ask, what does that mean? That if you're not a yiri shemayim, you don't have to will you be upset about the chorban? Only for yiri shemayim? So he says, Vade, everybody has to, but what? But unfortunately, somebody who's not a Yerush Shamayim these days, he doesn't feel like he's missing anything. Worried about that. Chorban, what? Chorban, Chorban. He doesn't feel he's missing anything. There's nothing to be upset about. You have to be a Yerush Shamayim to realize that something's missing and to be upset. So he says, brings the famous Mashal, all different, said in different ways, but that there was once this village person that he went to a Shabbos Hagadol Drasha, and the Rav spoke about that in the B'Nisan and Nigal, B'Nisan Asid and Nigal, that the Gula is going to come in Nisan. So he came home to his wife and he says, you know, the Rav says that that's it, you know, the Mashiach's coming in Nisan, it's Nisan coming now, and the Mashiach's on his way. And so she said, yeah. So he says, well, I don't know, not so great. Says, why? She says, well, he says, look, I just finished, you know, Shiputzim on this, on my our little home over here. And what about all these, the cows that I've been raising, and chickens, and this? And what are we going to do, is drop everything, go to Eretz Yisrael? I mean, well, what's the... So she says, come on, you know, what are you worried about? Hashem will take care of us, whatever. So the villager thought a little bit more, and he said to his wife, he says, so you know what? Truth of the matter is, you know, I've heard in the news, you know, the Kazakhs, they're coming along and they're wreaking havoc all over the place. They're taking people's homes, taking their property, taking everything from them, whatever. So, you know, we might not be losing out so much anyways, because we're probably losing all our stuff anyways to the Kazakhs. So his wife thought, she thought for a moment, she says, you know what, I have a good idea. He says, when the Mashiach comes, we'll tell him, you know what, we have a good idea. Why don't you take the Kazakhs to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll stay here with our home and our animals, whatever. So that's unfortunately our warped attitude. So he says, what's pshat behind it? So he says... Also, he said he heard that in the Knesia Gedola of Agudas Yisrael in Vienna, the Chafetz Chaim, he was very, very old at the time, and he was sitting there, and people were listening to every word, you know, that he said, and they heard him say that, you know, we daven in our Tfilat Amida every day, three times, as Semech David Avdecha Meheres Tatzmiach V'Karno Tam Yeshua Secha, and then we say, Ki Yeshua Secha Kivinu Kalayom, and you're Yeshua Hashem, we hope, Kol Hayom. So the Chafetz Chaim mentioned this, and he says, "Yeshuascha kivisi." You know what? Am I really hoping for the Yeshua? And Kol Hayom, all day, right? I'm hoping for the Yeshua, Hashem, all day. I'm hoping for Yeshua. Are we really hoping for the Yeshua all day? He says, "So what? What's pshat? Why not?" So he says that, as we know, there's different levels in the Bria, and the highest level, of course, is man. Zot Hashem, we'll speak a little bit more later. And the level below man is animal. And only one time in history did an animal actually speak like a man. And that is what in this week's Sedra, right? The donkey, Bilam's donkey. So he says, you know, find a strange thing, Chura. I mean, here is finally this donkey's able to talk. So what do you think it should have said? It should have said, when he was able to give him the power of speech, he should have turned to Bilam and said, get off my back! What are you doing? You're sitting on me and that's not right. Why don't you get down on fours and I'll go on your back, see how you like it. You know, that's what the donkey should have said. But what did it say? It said, what are you hitting me? What are you hitting me so much? You know, you have a little bit of rahmanas, you know, you want to ride me, okay, but hitting me, what are you? He says, why did the donkey say that? Why didn't he just say, get out of here? He says, because the donkey's a donkey. All a donkey knows, yeah, people ride on me, sit on me, hit me, that's a donkey. The donkey doesn't know anything more. So the donkey looks small-minded. He says, the story is told, the Tsar of Russia, speaking of the Cossacks before, so the soldiers, the Cossacks, he says once they made a lineup, and they took out their swords and they put two lines of soldiers one against the other, and they picked up their swords and they made like a chuppah, you know, with their swords, and then the Tsar is to walk through. So fine, so they do that, they line up and they put up the thing, and the Tsar starts walking through. And all of a sudden, one of the soldiers wants to assassinate the Tsar, and he starts putting his sword down to chop the head off, the Tsar's head off. But just in the nick of time, the soldier that was opposite him, you know, knocked the sword out of his hand and saved the Tsar's life. So afterwards, the Tsar, you know, went to his office, whatever, and he said, call in this soldier, you know, that saved my life. So fine, the Tsar comes in, he says, who are you? And he says, I'm Private Vladimir. So he says, you know, you saved my life, the king's life. So he says, listen, that's my responsibility, king, and it's my schus, you know. So he says, listen, the Tsar, he says, I have chiyuv hakara satov, and I must thank you. I have to. So what would you like? Whatever you like, just tell me, and I'll try my best to fulfill your wish. So immediately the soldier said, well, you know, the head of the army base that I'm in, he's always picking on me, this guy. You know, he's that, do this, do that, and he won't let me go home, you know, he won't take vacation days and this. He's always on my back, always picking on me. Tell him to stop bothering me. So the Tsar said, fine, not a problem, I'll see what I can do, and everything should be okay. He says, okay, so he salutes and he leaves. Dismissed. So the Tsar calls over the head of the base, the army base, and he says, okay, listen to me. I'm telling you two things that you have to do. He says, number one, don't bother this guy anymore. You know, he saved my life. That's what he wants. Don't bother him anymore. Even if he does things not so great, don't punish him. Just get off his back. Okay, leave him be. He says, that's number one. The second thing I'm asking of you, telling you to do, is don't raise his rank. No matter what, keep him as a private. That's it. So he said, why, king? Why can't, if he does good or whatever, why can't I raise his rank? He said, because I don't want stupid officers in my army. He says, what do you mean? He says, I told this private, I said, whatever you want, I'll give you. He should have asked to be the head of the base. Instead, what he said, oh, tell the guy that's the head of the base to stop picking on me. He could have asked him, I want to be the head of the base. What a fool. I don't need fools like that in my higher positions. So, nimshal being that same thing. That we're small minded. We're like the like the chayal, like the chamor of Bilam, right? We can do great things, ask for great things. Instead, what we're small minded. You know, what do? We say, Hashem, we want to end the galus. Why? Because we're suffering this bad thing. I don't want this, I don't want that, this is hurting me, this is this sickness, this that. Right. Think big. That, okay, of course, Hashem could do that, and Bezrat Hashem, the Gula will come out, take care, but think big. Think that, you know, Hashem, bring the Gula, so, you know, so that I won't get picked on. You know, you can, if the Gula comes, we can do great things. Uh, brings here something he heard from Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkom Domo, a hesber in a difficult Gemara, he says. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samech Dalet, says the following. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Maise benachris achas shehaisa chola biyoter. There's once a woman, a goyish woman, that she was very sick. So she said, she made a vow, and she said that if I will get better, I'll be cured from my sickness, then I will promise, she said, to worship every avodah zarah in the world. So what happened? She got better. So she had to keep her vow, and she went and she worshipped every avodah zarah that she can find, until she came to the avodah zarah of Peor. And she asked the priest there, says, how do you serve this exactly? So they said, well, you eat and drink things that give you diarrhea, and then you have diarrhea in front of the idol. That's how you do it. So she said, oh, it's gross. She says, you know what? I'd rather go back to my sickness and not have do this avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, "V'atem beis Yisrael einchem ken," but you're not like that. Why? Ella hanitzmadim lebal peor, says in this week's Sedra. Ketzamit pasil. Tzamit pasil is a seal of a bottle or whatever. It's stuck on tight. That the kemichse muvrag shein lenatko, like a thing you turn on, a screw on the top of a bottle that you can't take it off. That's how the Yidden were attached to the avodah zarah of Baal Peor. So he says, hard to understand. What does that mean? That all these hamone bnei Yisrael, right, that they were worse than this Goya that served every avodah zarah in the world? Right, she was disgusted. She couldn't, but bnei Yisrael, they were, not only did they do this avodah, they were attached to it, like a tamid pasil. He said, well, what's pshat? How could that be? So he says, what does that mean that the Gemara is being like a kitrig against Am Yisrael? They're so terrible. That's what the Gemara wants to point out, how bad Klal Yisrael is. So he says, no. So Rav Chanan, the opposite is true. It's actually telling the Shvach of Yisrael. Aye, how could that be? So he explains the following. It says the Gemara says Megillah Daf Tet Zayin said Umazu Meshula LaAfar, that the Bnei Yisrael were likened to the dirt. As it says also in this week's Sedra, Mimana Afar Yaakov, we're like the Afar. And we're also, though, Meshula LaKochavim. V'atasam Cham Hashem Elokecha Kochavei HaShamayim LaRov. Meaning, says the Gemara, Kashahim Yordim Yordim Ad Afar. We're like Afar, because when we go down to the bottom, to the Afar. But Kashahim Olin Olin Ad LaKochavim. But when we go up to the stars. Now, we have to understand, he says, well, why is that the case? Why we go down there? And another famous Gemara in Ksubas, Taf Samech Vav, Ma'isa b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was once driving or riding his donkey, going out of Yerushalayim, and his Talmidim were going with him. And she saw a woman that was picking out undigested barley pieces from the dung of the animal, the Arab animals, so she could have food. So she saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai coming, so she stood up, and she said, Rebbe, Parnaseini, and I need food. Can you give me something to eat? So he said, who are you? So he says, I'm the daughter of Nachdiman Ben Gurion, one of the richest men, used to be one of the richest men in Yerushalayim. So he said to the Talmidim, yeah, you know, I remember, I actually signed her ksuba, and on her ksuba, there were elaf alafim din rezaha from her father's house, besides from her father-in-law's house. The huge millions of dollars of your ksuba. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai then cried, and he said the following, quote, Ashreichem Yisrael, happy are you Yisrael, Bizman shosim ratzon shel makom, when you're doing Hashem's ratzon, ein kol umah v'lashon shaletet b'hem, then there's no nation that can touch the Jews when they're doing your ratzon. Bizman she'ein osim ratzon shel makom, but when they're not doing your will, Hashem, then mosram biyad umah shvela, they're given at the hands of a lowly nation, and not only into the hands of a lowly nation, ela biyad behem tan shel umah shvela, into the hands of the animals of this lowly nation. So everybody asked Akasha, Why did he say Ashreichem Yisrael? I can see Ashreichem Yisrael, that when they're good, no one can touch them. But why also, and part of the statement is Ashreichem Yisrael, that when they don't do the Shem's Ratzon, either we're giving it the hands of the behemoths? Why is that Ashreichem Yisrael? Happier are you Yisrael? What's so be happy about? So Reb Elchanan says the Gevaltik Pshat. He says, as we know, we mentioned earlier, there's different levels in creation. We have mineral, vegetable, animal, man, medaber, right? They each different levels in creation. And then after the Torah was given, we even have a higher level of Yisrael, the highest level. And he makes an interesting observation that each level is higher than, you know, a mineral, the rock, is nothing, no life to it. You have tzomeach, you have a vegetable, it's a higher level, it's something alive at least. But it doesn't have like a neshama or whatever. Then you have a higher level than that, you have animals, which is a living thing and moving, whatever, has like a nefesh. And after that, you have even a higher level of man, right? The different levels. Each one levels higher than the other. However, he makes an interesting observation. He says that when any one of these levels, something happens to it, so then what happens? It drops lower than even the level before it. For example, let's say you have the vegetable. So a vegetable is higher, we said, than a rock or whatever. Okay. So, but if something happens to it and it rots, you know, there's something happens to the vegetable. It's not, you don't water it ever, and then what happens? It rots. And when it rots, it's worse off than a rock. Similarly, you have, let's say, after that, you have an animal. An animal is higher level than a vegetable, right? Has an nefesh, whatever. But what happens when it dies? Then it's worse off than a vegetable. It stinks. It's an avail. It's a carcass. It's even worse off than the level before it. And man is even again. A man is higher level than an animal. When a man dies, it even reeks more than an animal. Whatever, it's even worse. Right? The higher the level, when something happens to it, it ends up being worse than the level before it. So Mimele, he says, now we can understand with the Ashreichem Yisrael. Right? That, in other words, how can you tell how great the level is? You see how rotten it is when it's rotten. Right? If it's at a very low level when it's bad, then you know that when it's good, it's on a very high level. So Mele, that's why he says Ashreichem Yisrael. That how do we know Ashreichem Yisrael? Because we can tell that we're on a very high level. Because when we do bad, we're on such a low level that tells us that we have potential to be on a very, very high level. So that's with that, therefore, we said before, he answers the question. He says, how could it be, therefore, that Yisrael, that you know, what we're worse than this Goya, that she worse than the Zarn, she goes, oh, came to poor, oh, I can't get near that, oh, I can never do poor, and we were Nitzmadim about poor, how could it be? So the answer is, yeah, it's the Gemara, as Rav Chanan asks, is not trying to say negative. We're trying to say how great Klal Yisrael are. Why? Because you can see how low they can get. That tells us how the tremendous potential, how high they could get. Because the greater you are, the harder you fall. And therefore, because they can even be lower than this Goya, that tells us that they can be much higher. But Hashem, we should all be Zoicha to very high levels. We should think big, think for the Geula, and Hashem should bring the Geula. Be Meher V'Yomein.